Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you today from a glorious day in northeast England. I'm here for the ASME meeting and coincidentally have managed to book time with a colleague who's not able to be at the meeting but is only a few hundred miles north of me in Aberdeen, Scotland. Lorraine Howick is the voice that you'll hear momentarily. She's a clinical lecturer in the Center for Healthcare Education, Research and Innovation at the University of Aberdeen. We'll be discussing a paper that she and her co-authors have coming out in the October 2018 issue of Medical Education entitled, I Feel Like I Sleep Here, How Space and Place Influence Medical Student Experiences. Lorraine, first and foremost, I understand this is a piece of a PhD that's coming very close to being completed, so congratulations on that success, even though it may feel a little bit premature at this very moment.
No, thank you for that. It is coming closer than I would think. Yeah, just in about 6 weeks' time, I should be submitting my thesis.
Wonderful. By the time people hear this, that 6 weeks will probably have passed. But can I start there, actually? Can you tell us a little bit about the general thrust of your dissertation? And that'll help us lead into what this specific paper has to do with it.
Yeah, so I started my PhD back in 2013 as a part-time student. I work full-time at the university. And I was really interested that our medical school had gone through a significant curriculum reform. And I was intrigued about what was driving that, what really made their decisions, and what were the influences for the change in that. And now at the same time that they were planning that curriculum reform, the changes and the vision and the plans that they had needed to have a new medical school teaching and learning space in order to allow that reform to be translated in reality. So I was interested in two things. I was interested in, well, what was happening about the reform, what was underpinning it, what was driving it, what were the intended and unintended consequences of that, but I was also interested in where the reform was going to be enacted. So what were the experiences of the students who were going to be working and studying in that new space? That's where the beginnings came from.
And the title of your paper raises the statement, How Space and Place Influence Medical Student Experiences. What's the difference between space and place?
So the place can be somewhere like where you live or where you study, where you go to school. So that's different from the space because the internal space is what I'm more interested in. So the place is, you know, where it's located and what is shaping that, but also the internal space is more about, well, what's happening inside the building or inside your home or inside your workplace. And what are the hidden messages that might be surrounding some of that and influencing your experiences, how you think and how you feel, and your sense of belonging in that space?
It sounds to me like one component of a concept that's had much larger play within the medical education literature, which is learning environment. But this is, you know, very specific to place and space as you described it. I haven't seen as much written on that topic. Was there a particular perspective or influence that you had that led you to believe this was worthy of deeper exploration?
Yeah, there's certainly been a lot of theoretical work around the kind of space and the place or the location of learning in medical education and medical, certainly in the undergraduate medical environment. And there's a lot of work out there about, you know, the importance of the place and the space for patients as well. But there's actually been very little empirical data that actually looks at, you know, what's really happening in the experiences of the people who live and work in these kind of spaces. And I was interested in a lot of Jonas Nordquist's work. He's done quite a lot of work around the learning environment and the changing landscape of learning environments. So I really kind of springboarded off some of his ideas and his theoretical thoughts about how spaces can influence and change perspectives. And I drew a little bit on human geography theory to look at, you know, how humans interact and their emotions and feelings can be shaped about your local environment where you're studying. So I was interested in bringing those thoughts right back into the new medical school space that was created locally here in Aberdeen.
And when you talk about collecting an evidence base around those particular issues, this is a great example of sort of question that really could never be answered by a randomized controlled trial. I presume nobody's going to give you a grant to set up multiple different buildings and see how it plays out. So how does one go about getting evidence or the data that you're interested in, yeah, in the context of, it sounds like, a brand new curriculum and a brand new building?
Yeah, that's right. I took a purely qualitative approach. And I did a case study approach because it was looking at a single site that could have transferable messages to other areas in medical education. So in terms of the qualitative approach, I actually did a kind of a three-pronged attack, if you like, of data collection. So I looked at all the archived documents that supported the drivers for why the new medical space needed to be designed. And that was from the kind of senior faculty designers as well as the architect's plans for that space. So that was part of the documents. I then interviewed the key designers of the curriculum program because they were also involved in the design and the vision of the new medical school space. So I did individual interviews with those members of faculty, so they were senior management faculty. And then I also did focus group interviews with the students to kind of get a more of a 360-degree view of the intentions for the space, the planning and designing people of the management wanted to do, but also how that experience was lived out for the students in their reality.
If we start chronologically, or at least in the sequence that I imagine the data might have come to light, what was the stated intention of your curriculum designers when they were trying to envision what this new building could provide?
So they really wanted the school space to be at the heart of the healthcare campus, so to be like a real center point. And there was lots of words like, you know, to have like a village atmosphere, to be at the heart of everything, to be a real hub of activity where the school could build stronger connections between the local health service providers and the university. So the medical school was acting as this bridge between the two. So the vision was not just the location, but also what it wanted to in terms of the working relationships and the opportunities for students to learn in the clinical setting. So before that, students learned across three different sites across the city. And by designing a new building, then everything that they had learned previously could be then taught in one building under one roof on one site, whereas before they were really dispersed across the city.
And that all sounds very sensible and positive. Is it fair to assume that those ideas were somewhat non-controversial and the students and faculty and designers were all in line with that vision?
Yeah, certainly, yeah. There were students who weren't involved in the vision at the beginning. The driving forces behind that, so the faculty and the need to have more updated state-of-the-art learning environment in the medical school, was taken on board and seen as really positive. But equally, when I interviewed the students, you know, they really recognised the benefits and the convenience of being literally a stone's throw away from the hospital. I could throw a stone from the main building door and reach the hospital. It's that close. So they could see the benefits of having close contact with patients. There was no distance to walk. But equally, you know, clinical staff could also very easily come across to the medical school and teach without having to travel any distance. There were lots of benefits for that main move to having everything on one site.
Yet if things play out as straightforward as they were planned, I suspect we might be having a very different conversation. Part of the intrigue from your results was there were unintended consequences, as you mentioned, and I wonder if I can ask you to just elaborate on those.
So, yeah, there were a number of really unintended and unexpected consequences for the students. So, like I said earlier, while they appreciated the location and the convenience, the medical school they recognised was actually completely separated then and isolated from the rest of the wider university student community, which is about 3 or 4 kilometres away from where we are at the moment. So for the students, they felt they were isolated and they recognised that they were learning in a silo of medicine. And this is not unique to Aberdeen. You know, it's quite a common situation to have medical schools based on a healthcare campus. But certainly in the focus groups, when I explored this with the students, some of them, you know, used phrases like they felt trapped and isolated. They felt that they really didn't know any other students apart from their own medical students. And it got to the stage where, for our students, even their friendship groups are medical. So because they are working with medical students all the time, they're studying only with medical students, then naturally their own friendship groups are only medical students. So it limits their ability to have a wider social community. And so, yeah, so that was one of the main things that they felt very separated from the wider student community.
Is that what's implied by the quote that starts your title, "I feel like I sleep here"?
Yeah. In the focus group, there was a lot of discussion about the nature of medical education being very long days. And that really from day one, they have to adopt this persona, this identity as a trainee doctor, as a medical student, because they're close to the healthcare campus. You know, they felt there's an expectation for them to behave in a certain way. So they also felt that because of that, and because they really didn't have exposure with any other students from the wider community or even from other healthcare students. One of the students then said, I feel like I sleep here. I don't get away. And, you know, it can drive you a little bit crazy sometimes because they felt the whole world was consumed by the medical degree, as you would expect, being the very nature of the degree. But this empirical data from the students really shouted about that quite loudly.
And the concerns that they raised, or the unintended consequences as you labeled them, did you have any indication that they were things students might have been able to forewarn the designers about, or was it just one of those things that could only come up upon experiencing the space and place as it was laid out?
Yeah, I think if we involve students from the beginning, if we're going to redesign learning spaces, or if we're going to even have a new building like we had, to involve students from the outset to say, these could be the consequences of having you all based on the healthcare campus. And then having that open discussion with students saying, well, what do you think could be the negative effects of that? And I don't think, you know, that was really intentionally thought about, and probably still isn't in many situations at all. I think it is, like I say, an unintended consequence of why you've got the tension on one side of having students close to their healthcare environment and all the benefits that offers. You then have this consequence of, well, actually, they're not part of the wider university community. You know, the students in my study, you know, didn't describe themselves as university students at all. They didn't align themselves with that identity. They just aligned themselves with the identity of a pure medical student and a student of the healthcare campus, not a student of the wider university.
I would imagine that regardless of how extensively one tries to consult a variety of different stakeholder groups in advance, there will always be some things that are unanticipated. If we're literally talking about building a building, if any of such things arise, it's not necessarily easy to fix. What do you advise for a school that finds itself in a situation like yours is in, where they've discovered some negative aspects to the space? Are there ways to address it retroactively that you think might be effective?
Yeah, we've certainly thought about that after we wrote the paper. And, you know, there are certainly ways to try and improve aspects of the curriculum. So to actively implant in the curriculum spaces where they can actually go to the old campus and do some learning in the main campus with other university students. So building that in actively into the curriculum so they still have those opportunities. And I guess that goes alongside with interprofessional learning. So actively building that they are working with other students. Because, you know, I agree, like you say, sometimes you can't factor those things in because you're restricted by the space that you've got. But there are ways around it in order to allow students to have those opportunities that are factored in and purposely put into the curriculum to allow them to have opportunities to learn with other students and go to other parts of the wider campus that might be, you know, spread across the other side of the city.
So what's your advice with respect to the ideal process, either before or after the implementation of a space like this, in terms of what other educators might do to try to get a good sense of whether or not there are issues that they should be attending to?
Yeah, I think to kind of preempt things happening, I think it's important to communicate with all of the wider stakeholders, so the architects and the curriculum designers and the people involved in the learning spaces. I think it would be useful to have architects and building designers involved in all of those discussions, but also to have the users involved in those discussions from the outset, where at all possible to do that. So really having that from the beginning. But like I say, I think it's good to involve students from year one of them coming into their new space, and asking them, you know, are they settling in? Are there issues that they think they want us to address? And I think most of the things that come up in the paper are not insurmountable. I think they are things about being proactive and trying to have a forum where students can share if they feel that they're isolated from the rest of the community, or if they feel that they're feeling trapped in one place. And it is about having those open conversations with students and formally choosing to create a forum for those opportunities and discussions with the faculty as well.
I could imagine that there are likely many students in many institutions around the world who are feeling these things, and it hasn't come up as a point of discussion because the buildings in which they're working are so old that nobody's thinking to even ask the question about how the space is impacting them. So
yeah.
I think your answer is a really good indication that we should be exploring these things in every context, not just when somebody's at the new development stage like you've lived through.
Yeah, you know, a lot of this probably falls within the umbrella of the hidden curriculum. So it's, you know, what hidden messages are we unaware that we're sending out as faculty, but equally, you know, how can we then make that more overt rather than hidden and discuss any of the issues that students might have? Because we certainly posed a question in our paper, could this affect students' mental health and stresses? If you have a student who feel like they never get away and they feel trapped, you know, we posed questions about, well, what could the knock-on effects of these things be from students? And this is something that we didn't have the opportunity to explore in our paper, but it's something we want to explore based on the empirical data that we gathered. We thought, well, actually, is there something else that could be happening that we're not aware of? Purely that's actually driven by the space. I don't believe it's necessarily driven by the local university or the local medical school. I think it's the space and the place that creates these conditions of separation and isolation.
And let's keep those further explorations on the shelf until you get the formality of your PhD out of the way.
Completely.
Yeah. Which is probably a good place for us to end so that you can get back to putting the finishing touches on everything. So I'll direct our listeners to the paper for more of the details that we don't have time to discuss. But so you can find it. I'll just remind you that the title is I Feel Like I Sleep Here, How Space and Place Influence Medical Student Experiences. It is in the October 2018 issue of Medical Education, and you've been listening to Lorraine Howick, the first author. Thanks, Lorraine, and best of luck with the completion of your dissertation.
Thank you so much on behalf of all the authors for the opportunity. Thank you.